First, those sanctions and how they relate to Afghanistan. Maya Lester, QC, is a barrister at Brick Court Chambers. She's an expert in sanctions law, and she joins us. Good morning. Can you set out what the current situation is? There are sanctions in place against individual members of the Taliban, but nothing against the country itself.
That's right. That's exactly right. So since 1999, so pre-9/11, there have been sanctions on individual members of the Taliban and those connected, really for being designated as a terrorist organization as part of international worldwide terrorist financing measures. And those freeze all of the funds of those on the list and prevent travel. There have also been separate US sanctions, which have been pretty potent. But as you say, that doesn't prevent trade altogether with Afghanistan. There aren't sanctions on the country as a whole. These days, the worldwide community tends to impose sanctions on individuals rather than on countries. But it does make business hard and very complicated and costly, because what it means is for those US sanctions, it means US persons have to be very careful that they don't transact with the Taliban, however that is interpreted, and people connected with it. But it also means a complete fund freezing in the worldwide system of financing, which can make life very difficult for banks and for their risk appetite too.
Well, what would the situation be at the moment? Because we're in a slightly grey area, aren't we, where the Taliban appears to be in control, but Afghanistan's government is not the Taliban, as it were. So if you're a company that does have business in Afghanistan, do you just stop in the fear that you might be breaking sanctions unwittingly?
Well, I think it's difficult. I think companies will be considering that right now. I think a lot of it will depend on their individual risk appetite, how much business they have there, and how important this is with them, because they're going to have to work out, as it were, the cost of compliance and how to route transactions so that they aren't subject to risk. And it really depends how these sanctions are interpreted and enforced, because, as I say, at the moment, the sanctions are on the Taliban. So the question will be, is a particular transaction benefiting the Taliban or someone associated with the Taliban? And that's not always a straightforward question when you're dealing with supply chains, knowing your customer, as it were, and knowing where money is going. But that will be the calculation now being made.
And in the very short term, talking about today's G7 meeting, presumably the G7 won't want to be seen discussing sanctions too openly, because at the moment they're relying on the Taliban for the evacuation process.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, I know Britain has called for increased sanctions, and President Biden has publicly been at least considering them. So I think the question will be, what is the calculation that they're going to make? Because on one hand, sanctions can have a really crippling effect on the economy, as we know, in particular from Iran, from Syria, from North Korea. I think, obviously, it may be unlikely that there are further worldwide sanctions on the Taliban, in particular because the presence of China on the Security Council in the United Nations. But as I said, the most potent source of sanctions is the United States. And I think it really depends, as President Biden has said, on the conduct of the Taliban, because the US very often now uses increased sanctions as a negotiating tactic. So will they impose much broader sanctions on the regime in an attempt to get the Taliban to negotiate or not will be a difficult calculation.
Just very briefly, in general, what's the position of aid agencies when it comes to sanctions? Can they function in the face of sanctions?
Well, they can function, but it's extremely difficult. I expect if you were to speak to them, they would say sanctions makes providing aid extremely complicated. In theory, it's legal to do so. There are exceptions to sanctions to permit aid to be provided. But generally, you need licenses, you need exceptions and authorizations to be able to do so. That can be slow and it can be complicated. So sanctions authorities are trying to get speedier at that, in light of the, you know, humanitarian situation that's resulted in, for example, Iran, Venezuela, Syria, North Korea, where they've tried to get aid. So the system is trying to speed up, but it certainly complicates things.
Thank you very much. Maya Lester, QC.